Is our wood wet? It's a good day to talk about that. With the weather the way it is outside, you hear that people say that a lot here lately. If you didn't feel nothing in that, or if you didn't get nothing out of that, your wood's wet. When the fire comes down from heaven, it should consume. It should light us up. When we are in a spirit or in a church service and God starts moving about, we should feel something in that. Our wood shouldn't be so wet that the fire don't have no effect to us. And I pray today, if your wood is like mine is a whole lot of times. A lot of times I'll come to services and people will testify different things. I just don't feel everything in it like I ought to. I don't know about y'all, but that bothers me. Then I start saying, is it them or is it me? And so I think a lot more often than not that it's me instead of it is them. I think a lot of times my wood is just wet. And it don't have the effect on me like it should. And I will say this, sometimes it may be them too. If you're trying to, you can quench the spirit by doing things you shouldn't do. And that's what quench means. It means to extinguish. When the fire of heaven comes in, we shouldn't do anything to try to put the fire out. That can be by not following the Lord if God's laying upon your heart to do something. Or it can be trying to do something when you're not supposed to be. Either one of those things can quench the Spirit of God. But I want to ask us today, is our fire or our wood wet? And I pray, I'm going to try to come back to these scriptures in a little while. God laid this on my heart this past week. Maybe that's the reason why I didn't get to preach last Sunday. I needed to look at this a little more. But I'd studied it out the week before and felt pretty satisfied. But these scriptures here come to me this week. I feel like we need to read these and then we're going to come back to them here in a little while. But it's very familiar scriptures. It's Genesis 22 to do with Abraham and Isaac. And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham arose early in the morning and saddled his ass, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went up into the place in which God had told him. And on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and he laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and he said, My father, and he said, Here am I. And he said, My son, and he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and he laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son, and he laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and he said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for the burnt offering instead of his son. And with the mistakes we made reading, that's reading down to the 13th verse. And y'all pray for us. About our heart is that we get back to that in a little while. And we talk about that here in just a little bit. But I want to talk about today first. If you've never been saved by God's grace, then your wood is certainly wet. There's no fire about you to be able to light it up. There's nothing that you can do to understand the things to do with God. Over in the 8th chapter of Romans, he said, those in the flesh cannot please God. So there's nothing you can do to please God when you're in the flesh. But I want to take a reading for a text over here, and I pray that you'll understand where I'm going with this after a while. In the 2 Corinthians in the 14th verse, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And being discerned means unknowing, or not being able to judge. And so the natural man, the flesh, if you've never been saved by God's grace, if you don't have a flame in you or a light in you to start with, you can't understand the things it said of the Spirit of God. You can't understand it. We find over there where Nicodemus, excuse me, he come to Jesus by night. And he said, Master, we know that you must be a prophet, because all the good things you've done. And Jesus went on and told him that you must be born again. And Nicodemus didn't understand this. And he said, how can these things be? How can a man be born of the Spirit? So he did not understand. And if you've never been saved by God's grace, you come to one of our services, and somebody like Sister Leanne Dotson gets up and starts shouting, holding her hands up. Our brother Teddy over here gets to shouting right out of nowhere. Sister Teresa gets over here and gets going, and Sister Helen goes, whoa, wee. And then you get a preacher up here acting like me. You're going to think these people are mad. I promise you, you're going to think that. I remember going to services when I was a boy, and people would go to shouting and carrying on. I think, what is wrong with these folks? Get me out of here. Why am I here? I want you to know, you'll think they're mad. Is that not what Festus said to Paul? He said, much learning. Paul has made you mad. Paul was testifying there to King Agrippa. He thought he was crazy. He said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus. I'm sober. A lot of times when people get in the Spirit of God, they get to thinking we're drunk. We're on something. Is that not the truth? People that have never been saved with God's grace, if you're sitting here right now, you're thinking, yeah, I'm thinking it, preacher. I'm thinking you've done went and lost it. See, that's what you would think, because you're spiritually discerned. You don't understand. The Bible's a dead letter. When Philip come to the eunuch, and the eunuch was reading from Isaiah 53, and he come up to him, and he said, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except let some men guide me? He didn't understand what he was reading. He said when he was reading about the sheep being laid, he says, this man talking about himself, Isaiah talking about himself, or another man. He was talking about Christ, but he could not understand. Why? Because he was spiritually discerned. That's the way it's going to be. If you've never been saved by God's grace, I bet this man could tell you when he come here a few years ago, I bet he thought, that preacher is nuts. And I don't blame you for thinking that. But I tell you right now, I'm more sound mind than I am. I will be 3 hours from now. Because I promise you 3 hours from now, the devil will go to working on me and he'll get my mind and I will be nearly nuts. He'll tell me what a mess I've done and all these things and I'll nearly be crazy. You'd ask my wife on Monday morning, I'm a nutcase. But right now, I'm like Paul. I'm sober, sound-minded. I know what I'm talking about. I know clearly it's from God. We ought to be able to feel the preaching when it comes down from heaven. If you ain't feeling nothing today, then your wood's a little wet. Or a lot wet, if you don't understand completely. On the day of Pentecost, what happened? The fire come down from heaven in fiery tongues. I mean, Jesus come to his church. He come right down in the way of the Holy Ghost and the way of the Comforter. And these people, all of a sudden, they thought they was mad. They went to speaking in tongues. They understood languages that they didn't even know. I want you to know there was a meeting going on there. Thousands got saved. The Spirit of God come down in such a way. Y'all pray for us. And they were all amazed. And were in doubt, saying one another, what meaneth this? What in the world is going on here? They didn't know what was going on. And others mocked and said, these men are full of new wine. Listen, I want you to realize they're often they think these people are on something. Yes, we're on something. We're on to the Spirit of God. When we need to be, when we're at where we need to be. But Peter standing up saying, standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said to them, you men of Judea, all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you. Hearken to my words. These are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. So he told them, he said, they're not drunk. They're in the Spirit of God. And I want you to know there was a bunch there that was spiritually discerned that did not know what was going on. And I didn't understand that. I understand how all that worked. I understand. I come to a point that I realized that there was a God. I believe Jesus come and died for my sins. I believed I was lost. I never really was under conviction. One night, sitting up there, it all become real to me. The Spirit of God come in and started dealing with me. And when the Spirit of God gets in the matter, if it don't get in the matter, you'll never get saved. I mean, it takes the Spirit of God. It made it all so real to me. And it convicted me through the word and the testifying of all the things I saw before. And honey, I began to get trouble. I began to understand what the preacher told me all was true. And the testifying and all the things that went on. Oh, I called upon the name of the Lord. I got saved and there become a little flame in me that I've been carrying around ever since. If you've ever been saved by God's grace, you've got that flame. Your wood may be wet today, And you may not feel nothing, but you've got that flame. It's in there. It's going about around about you. So what causes, Brother Larry, binding your wood to get wet? Amen. Sin and the things of the world causes us our wood to get wet. And we get to the point that we just don't feel nothing anymore. It's not that the fire ain't still there. It just ain't doing much. It's just a little hunk of coal, maybe just a spark down in there, sitting there waiting, wanting to do something, wanting to set you on fire. But you got so caught up in the world. You're so caught up in all your problems. You're so caught up in the internet. We're so caught up in our job. We're so caught up in everything to do with this world. Our wood's so wet, it don't benefit us much at all. There was a man named David committed a sin, a great sin against God. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. And because of that, the sword come to his house and never left his house. I want you to know he got in such a shape when you read the 51st division of Psalms, you thought the man was lost. He'd gotten such a shape that he didn't feel nothing. He didn't know nothing. It didn't seem like he could get there anymore. Have you ever got your wood get so wet that when people start moving about and testifying and preaching is right sent down from heaven and it don't do you a bit of good? Have you ever been there? Has your wood got so wet that spark down there just ain't doing nothing, just sitting there smoldering? Mine has. David, this will help you if you'll listen to me today. We're going to get to something here in a little while that I think will be a help to all of us. Amen. David said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach the transgressors the ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." What did he tell Peter? He said, "Peter, I prayed for you, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." You can't do nothing when your wood is wet there. Be a help to anybody else. And that's what David said. Help me, restore the joy of my salvation. The free spirit, let me feel it again. Have you ever gotten such a shape you just couldn't feel him anymore? I can tell you right now, one time, I went for years. And the Lord laid, I got saved when I was 14-year-old, went for the longest time, wouldn't. I told it the night after I got saved, joined the church. And there's no telling how many times he told me to get up and testify, and I wouldn't do it. It finally got down to the point I couldn't feel him no more. And I finally got to the point where I was fixing to have the Lord's Supper at Rocky Mound. One time, Brother Thomas got up there, and he was getting, they done preached, and he was telling us we need to be in condition to take the Lord's Supper. And there I said, could not feel nothing. My wood went. That man had poured his heart out telling me how I need to be in a condition to take it. And I said, couldn't feel nothing. I said, God, please. Had the table set near the deacons done come up there, unwrapped her, had her ready to go. Me just tore all the pieces, God, please. Let me feel you again. Restore the joy of my salvation. I'll testify, Lord, if you'll let me feel you again. And he did. The fire come down from heaven, and he filled me up. And the next thing you know, somebody, I was probably 27-year-old, hadn't testified since he saved my soul, and hopped up and go to tell it about what the Lord done for me. Oh, boy. You're talking about wet wood. But even the wettest wood can be set on fire. Amen. Oh, boy. There was a priest named Eli. Amen. He'd gotten such shape. His sons committed sins. Job prayed for his children if they had committed sins. Eli's sons was committing sins and he knew it and he wasn't doing a thing about it. There was a woman named Hannah who wanted a baby so bad. She prayed constantly for her baby. And she went up to the temple to pray. She was down there praying, asking God to give her a son. And I want you to know, Eli was in such bad a shape, he marked her mouth because her mouth was moving and she wasn't saying nothing out loud. And you know what he thought she was? Drunk. She was there talking to the Lord, and there the man of God was, thought she was drunk. You talk about wood getting wet. Here he was. Just like there was on the day of Pentecost. Just like Festus thought I was mad when somebody's in the Spirit of God. Here a man was saved. The priest thought she was drunk. And she said, I ain't drunk. I'm talking to the Lord. And he heard her and gave her a name, son named Samuel. And she dedicated that baby. Just like she told him she would in her prayer, she'd give him one. If God would give her a baby, she dedicated that baby. And guess what? He come to serve the temple there under Eli, the man of God. And you know what it says? It said the word of God was precious in those days. Maybe that's why our wood is so wet. We ain't hearing enough word of God anymore. It's precious these days. Listen, but it said that the hour of the lamp happened. It said the lamp, the fire went out. Listen to me, the man of God let the fire go out, and that was a great hour. I want you to know it was a picture of what was to come. After the day of the Pentecost, the fires never went out. Honey, when he come down to the church, and he come in her, and that is the fire. He said, I'll always be with you. It may not be right here. Our wood may get wet here at Hilltop in such a shape that we go out of existence. But you'll find her somewhere here on earth. The fire will be there. It was a great hour for the lamp to go out. Eli and his sons got killed in a battle against the Philistines. Well, his sons got killed. Eli fell off the back of the wall when he heard the Ark of the Covenant had been took. It seemed that a little boy had to tell him what was going to happen to him. Samuel come and told him what was going to happen to him, and it come to pass. God takes the weak things to confound the wise. He took a little boy to tell the priest what was going to happen. I want to tell you something today, church. If we keep letting our wood be wet, if we keep letting our wood get wet, it's going to kill us. Yep. Abraham took, God come to Abraham, and he tried Abraham. That's what the tempt means. He tried him. Have you ever, God ever tried you yet to see what you're willing to do for him? He tempted him and he said, tried him to take his son Isaac and offer him up. I want you to pay some attention to the things went on here. It said he clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place in which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here while me with the ass and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. He didn't say to sacrifice. He goes on in this next verse, but he said, we'll go worship. And come again, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering
and laid it upon his son Isaac. And I believe that's showing a picture of the wood being on Jesus' back. Amen. Isaac being a picture of Christ. And he laid the wood on his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife. And they went both of them together. I'm going to brag on Brother Bill Stove a little bit more. He thought I was going to brag on him. He shook his head, no. I'm going to brag on his stove a little more. Best wood stove I've ever seen. It's a Fisher. It's awesome. I've got wood out there that's at the house. It's been sitting out there 5 years. I ain't fortunate enough got one of the big nice lean-tos to put it in, keep it dry. I try to gather up wood before I know a rain's coming or snow and put it in my little lean-to. Try to get a half a rick or so in there where I have some dry wood. Try to prepare a little wood that way. That stove or Brother Bill's, if I go out there under about 6 or 7 o'clock, I'm put wood in that stove. And the next morning, I'll shut her back. I know how far to turn her now. It's got two little handles, and I'll turn them things far as they go, and then I come back just about a quarter turn. Next morning, you can go out there, and you walk out the door. I look out there, and there'll just be a little bit of smoke coming out of that flue. I'll go out there and hit them vents, open them wide open, go over and start doing something. I'll hear her go, whoo, just like turning a thermostat up on the house. I love that thing. But if I don't put some in it to say about 3 o'clock, I go to the house, and 3 o'clock in the evening, I don't put none in it, just leave it sitting like it is. Don't go back out there. I go back out there the next morning, and there I'll stick my hand up on it, and if it feels warm, I know I got something. So I open the door and I look. You won't see nothing but ashes. I'll take a fire poker and I'll dig around in there a little bit, and all of a sudden you'll see a few little red coals. We're going to come back to that. I think a whole lot of the reason why our wood is so wet, we ain't doing no preparation before the fire comes. You need some dry wood to have a fire. I told you, before rain's coming or so, I get a little wood. But I'll take, if you come out to my hallelujah chainsaw shop, old Bill is sitting right here. My workbench, one of them's right here. On the corner of that workbench, the first thing you'll find is a coffee maker. That's one of the most important things in Hallelujah God. But beside that, you'll always find some kindling. There was a man, Larry King, he planted years ago several pine trees there on that place. And every now and then, one of them would die, and I'll go out there and cut one of them pine trees that's dead and cut it up in firewood. Pine makes the best kindling you'll ever see in your life. But I'll take some of that kindling. I keep some of it all the time. I take it in. You know, I got me a little axe, and I'll sit down there in my chair while I work on the stove. I'll bust up some kindling. And I'll set that up there on my workbench. I keep that sitting there beside the coffee maker. And that stove, through the day and nights, it keeps that dried out. And that wood is ready. I can come out there in the morning. I promise you, if it's still got that little wood left in it, an old Bill, I'd open him up and he'll flame up. I'll go over and just get one of those other sticks, one of them old plain sticks of wood, some hickory or old sticker in there, and it'll light right up and you're gone. You got a fire. Boy, that's good. You ever been so cold when you get up next to the fire? It ain't nothing no better. Keep me a fire. I'll build me one if I'm going deer hunting the next morning. I'll make sure I got me one. I'll go out there about 9 o'clock. I'll put the wood in there, and then before I leave to go hunting, I'll go out there and get on the old pug. I'll fill her up and get her all fixed up just right. I'll hop on a pug and ride to the other side of the pond up on the hill, go back there on Brother Mark and go hunt. I'll sit back there and just nearly freeze to death. You know what I'm thinking about the whole time? That fire sitting back there waiting for me. I'll get back to the house. I don't go in the house. That old central heat freeze you to death. I go in there and sit beside old Fisher, old Brother Bill. I get all warmed up. Boy, do you ever just can't wait to get to church? Amen. Just can't wait to get there and be able to feel that heat that's coming. Boy, that's good, ain't it? But when your wood's wet, it just don't work very well. So you need to, through the week, maybe it's a good idea to maybe get you some kindling and start getting it dried out. Amen. See, I've got wood out yonder. It's been out there 5 years. Jason comes out there and gets some, take with him camping. He'll say, I don't want none of that old wet wood that you got. I said, well, go over and get some of that stack. It ain't too. It ain't been here as long. He said, oh, it's going to rot. I bet I got 10 Rick out there. I ain't got no sense. I love cutting wood. I'm like Marty. I ain't got no sense. But it's keeping me younger. But anyway, he don't want none, and I don't want none of the wet wood, just to be honest with you. It just ain't much count for nothing. But you get you some dry wood and you prep it. Did you pay attention to what Abraham done earlier? He didn't go there and then find wood. He got the wood and took the wood with him. Did y'all pay attention when I read that to you? Let's go back and read that again. It said, and he clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. So he knew when he got there that he was going to need some good wood. He didn't want to take a chance of getting there and not having good wood for the sacrifice, because God had told him what he was going for. Listen, it said him and his boy went up to worship. How many times do you come to church not bringing your wood ready for sacrifice? How many times when you get here, you've not done nothing all week to prepare the wood for worship? Amen. How many times do you come not expecting anything? Abraham was ready when he went to go to worship. Amen.
Isaac said, oh, Father, here's the wood and the fire. But he said, where's the lamb? I'll tell you what I believe. I believe Abraham took the fire with him. You go over to Leviticus chapter 6, and it said they was to keep the priest would come out in the morning. Let's just go read it, because I don't want to tell y'all something. I about fell there. Y'all wouldn't have laughed about that, would you? You old wet wood people. Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning, and it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn the wood every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and it shall be there on the fat of the peace offering. Let's read that. And the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, and it shall never go out. You say, well, preacher, it went out. No, it's not. It's still burning in us today. It's still burning here today. When the old ended, the new begun. And the sacrifice is still made here today. The fire, that's why it was so important that Eli let the fire go out. It was a picture. And they was to keep this fire all the time. So I believe back then they carried their fire in a pot. And it's just like that old stove. You go out yonder, you may not say nothing. But if you'll dig around there a little bit, you'll find a hot coal. Abraham took the fire for the sacrifice from the source, and he took it with him. He took the wood with him, good prepared wood. You want to know why our wood's wet when we get here and we don't feel nothing? We ain't done nothing to prepare ourselves. He didn't take and go get up there with a big lighter and light it. He didn't even get there and rub two sticks together hoping he'd get a fire. That's the way we are. We hope we have a good service. He went to have service. He took the dry wood, the prepared wood, the kindling, everything he needed. He took the fire with him.
and you're supposed to bring it every Sunday. We should bring the fire with us. We should bring wood that's prepared for service. Then we get here. I told you that old, I ain't crazy about the wet wood. But you know what'll happen? You take about 2 o'clock during the day after I've had a good hot fire all day. I'd go over and open the door and I'll have coals about the size of my fist. They're sitting in yonder and you open that door and it's old Bill, I mean it's hot. Woo! I'll go out there and get it out of the way. Stay. I'll take it in there and I'll throw it in there and you'll hear it go. Psh! And for about 20 minutes you can go look and steam will be rolling off of it. It's boiling it out. The fire's so hot it can't stand it. And finally, you'll walk over and look, and that old wet wood will be on fire. How many of us are coming out of that wet stand? And it takes somebody like Josh standing up and coming to unite with the church. And the whole church go to shout, people, fire, hell, it won't work. For us to be able to feel anything. Does it have to get on fire that hot before you feel anything? That's a problem, church. We should be able to live. That wood is set out there in the world. It's got rained on. It's full of filth. Bugs, I'll bring it in. Little worms crawling out of it. It's everything in it. Listen to me. That is our problem. Our wood is not only wet, it's soaked to the core. And everything nasty is crawling up in it. And honey, we can't feel nothing till the fire gets so hot. You think it's the day of Pentecost. And then finally, some of us start feeling something again. I'm going to let you decide today which stack of pile you're in. Are you that wood that's out there in the lean-to that's starting to dry out a little bit? A little bit better shape than that stack over here that was cut 2 years ago that ain't got rotten yet? Or are you in this stack down there in my stack? It's about middle ways. This ain't no count. Are you... And that stack, that kindling I told you about. I'm fixing to tell you about that kindling. I'll go out there under those ashes be piled out there. I'll dig around. I'll finally get one or two coals to come up, and they'll have a little red, and I'll leave that door open, and air starts getting to it. A wind, a mighty rushing wind starts coming in, and them coals, you'll start seeing them get a little brighter. A little brighter, and I'll reach up there and I'll grab a piece of that kindling, that pine that I busted up. It's been drying for 2 or 3 days, and I'll sit down there, and you'll sit down there, and within seconds, you'll see smoke come. And next thing, you'll hear popping. And then the next thing, you'll hear go, foo. And you'll look down there, and there's a flame coming. That wood is seasoned. It's dry. It's been prepared to burn. And you say, oh, I don't want to burn. I ain't talking about hell. I'm talking about to be on fire for God. Amen. I love old Fisher Bill. I'm going to start calling it Bill. I believe that's what we're going to call it. See, Abraham come ready for service. He come putting everything to the side, his son he loved, even willing to sacrifice his son. That's how much he wanted to be close to God. He done everything he could. He brought the wood with him that was prepared. He brought the fire that never goes out with him. He had all the ingredients. He got let go of everything else outside the world. And he told his lads, he said, me and the boys going up here to worship. Y'all bide here while we're going to worship. He knew even if he had to sacrifice his son. According to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, that faith chapter we talked about, and the 19th verse, he can raise him up again. He believed in God. How's your wood today? If something like this, if you don't feel something, then you got a little wet wood. But you know what you can do? You start preparing your wood. When you leave here today, don't start preparing for service next Sunday morning. When you're in there getting a shower and putting your makeup on and your best Sunday best clothes, that's all good. But when you leave today, start preparing that wood for far a few days from now. That's the difference. So you come to the Hallelujah Chainsaw Shop and it's wintertime. If you'll pay attention, there's a few pieces of wood. One of the kids asked me the other day, well, Pa, why is this sitting here? I said, it's getting ready. It's getting ready. Crawl up beside the heat throughout the week. See, that's where it's at. It's beside the heat throughout the week. Getting ready to be able to be used. Lord, help me that I get my wood prepared. Be able to serve the Lord. I don't know if nobody else needs to hear this, but for 2 weeks, I read something yesterday. It says, your pastor, that's all he thinks about. That's all I thought about for 2 weeks. That's what, I'm sorry, bud, but that's what was on my mind. I can't help it. Why, Lord, do I come sometimes and can't feel nothing? Why, when some people shout, when some people testify, I'm sitting there thinking, what's going on? Why am I that way? That's the way the world's supposed to be. Me and you supposed to relate to that. We're supposed to feel that. It should light something up as us. That's my thought. You got a song. We'll have a handshake.